Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Welcome to the Arabic course. And as we said last week in the orientation, due to this course being part-time and you're only learning it once a week, it's not possible for me to teach you all of the Arabic language. And we said, any language consists of four skill components. What are they?
Listening,
good.
Writing.
Reading. And speaking. Good, those are the four. And then from those four, depending on how good you are, you will receive understanding. I want to focus on your understanding. I want to give you tangible results that you can see straight away in your salah, when you read a hadith or you recite the Quran. So we're going to focus mostly on listening and a bit of reading. So when you hear it, or you read the ayat, and you read a word that's similar to it or exactly the same, you're going to understand it. It's going to give you khushu. That's the point. So instead of putting them all, right, all four in one subject, 1 hour, cram it in and make you lose focus, it's not really practical. We don't want that. So I'd rather hone in on your energy levels while you have them, in the morning especially. Take advantage of that and focus mainly on your understanding when you listen to the Quran or you read particular ayat. That's really the main point, understanding. And understanding is always easier than producing language. For those who have kids, you find the first 6, 9, 12 months, they're just understanding you. They don't produce language. Even though they can't speak, you say to them, Ta'al, Idhab, La Baba, right? They understand. So they're not speaking, but they understand. So understanding comes first via listening. That's what Allah said, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمَ السَّمْعَ. Allah gave you listening. He mentioned that first. Listening's first. So I don't want people to come with false hopes. And I'm not going to lie to you and give you those false hopes by saying, when you finish this course, you're going to understand all of Fusha, you'll be able to give a khutbah in Fusha, you'll be able to read the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, no. So understanding, it's a part-time course, 1-2 hours a week, depending on how many subjects you're doing. Then we're just going to go for that minimal aspect of the language. And that's why many Arabic colleges or many Arabic courses fail in Sydney and in the West in general. Because students enter, they get all pumped, they're thinking they're going to learn the whole language. And then after 3-4 months, they realize, you know what, I'm not doing anything, I'm not speaking. Well, it's not possible to do speaking if you're just learning Arabic once a week and it's part-time. Really, if you want to learn how to speak and encompass the whole language, we mentioned last week two ways. Overseas, number one, or over here, whether one-on-one or even online with a sheikh or a teacher via Skype. So, for this particular subject, universal principles, all you need is a notebook and you can use a pen, no problem. So let's start off with the first subject, and that is universal principles of Arabic. Now before we start, as I said, to ensure everyone understands, I'm going to use Arabic and English. And when I write an Arabic word, I'll put the transliteration on the board for you as well. So the first universal principle, and the way this is going to work, is every lesson I'll do one, maximum two principles, right? Two concepts each lesson, not more than that. And the whole lesson will be based on those principles, and I'll give you examples, and then depending on the lesson, you'll also have a go. You'll also have a go. So the universal principle, if you're going to number them, number one, is a very easy one. Big words in Arabic come from, have a guess. Small words, correct. Big words come from small words. You find this all the time in al-lughat al-arabiyyah. 90% of words in the whole Arabic language, they come from a three-letter jidr, a three-letter root, right? 90% of the time. And then 9% of the time a four-letter, and 1% of the time a five-letter root word. But 90% of the time you find all big words come from a three-letter root word, which is called jidr. Jidr is the root. And to make this concept clearer, I'm going to give you an example. And as I said, I'm going to teach you more concepts as opposed to terminologies. A lot of people enter Arabic colleges or courses, they learn marfu', mansub, majroor, ismul fa'il, ismul maf'ul, ismul tafdil, ism. I'll say, I don't even know ismi in Arabic. Right, what's ism? Right, I can't even say my own name in Arabic. What are all these terms? Instead of overloading you with terms terminologies and mustalahat. I'm just going to give you the concept. You understand the concept? Alhamdulillah. The terms come later. Really, this course is more of an introduction to, you know, get you, to push you along your way in your Arabic studies courses and journeys in the future. So the first word we're going to look at is Al-Arabiya. Since we're learning the Arabic language, which is called Al-Arabiya, it's important that we understand what does Al-Arabiya actually mean. And this is something, as we said, it's unique to Arabic, where you find words come from small words, and there's a great connection. It's not like words are just made up. Right? Someone said, let's call this language Al-Arabiya. No, you're going to see every single word in Arabic, there's a great meaning behind it, and it actually teaches you many things. It teaches you etiquettes, conducts, and values. You're going to see shortly. So the first word, or the example we're going to give, is Al-Arabiya. And it's Al-Arabiya, not Arabiya. Okay. Al. Al. And neither is Arabi. Someone asks you, what did you study today? Oh, I learned Arabi. No, wrong. That's the slang. You didn't learn Arabi. You learned Al-Arabiya. And the first meaning of Al-Arabiya is abundance. Abundance. Someone asks you, what does Arabiya mean? Number one, abundance. It came from the Arabic word Ariba. Ariba. Ariba literally means abundance. If I were to say Aribat al-Bi'ru, Yani Kathura Ma'uha. The bi'r, the well, Ariba, the well became Ariba, meaning the water in it became plentiful, abundant, a lot. If I said Ariba al-Mal, what's mal?
Money.
Money. Ariba al-Mal, a lot of wealth. Ariba mali, oh, I got paid big today, right? So Ariba, you can use that to indicate Kathura. Ariba means Kathura. And I've started with that, why? To show you Al-Lughat Al-Arabiya is an abundant language. So many words. I saw this photo on Facebook recently. It was comparing dictionaries of particular languages, right? Had English dictionary, one volume. The Spanish dictionary, three or four. French, around seven. Arabic, 20 volumes. There's approximately 12 million words. Al-Lughat Al-Arabiya. And what's unique about Arabic, over time, languages change, right? The English of today is not like the English of yesterday. Look at 100, 200 years ago, Shakespearean English. Where art thou going? People don't talk like that. It changes. Arabic has stayed consistent. The way that we speak Fusha today is exactly how the Prophet ﷺ spoke. If you were to read a hadith exactly as it is, then you'll read exactly as it is today in terms of the Fusha. It doesn't change. You can learn the Fusha of the Prophet ﷺ. Now up until Yawm Al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah. Whereas over time, you find languages, they get worse. Worse. You become less eloquent over time, right? Look at Shakespearean English compared to today. Today's shocking. G'day. Yes, slang, it's slang. It gets worse. In fact, today's so bad, we don't even speak in words anymore. We speak in letters. LOL. R-O-F-L, right? We speak in letters. OMG, yeah. What's this? So we're getting worse over time. But Al-Lughat Al-Arabiya, subhanAllah, you know, you'll see when you learn it, it actually corrects you, makes you more eloquent. In fact, the second meaning of Al-Lughat Al-Arabiya is eloquence. Arabic, Al-Arabiya, means eloquence. And that came from Aruba. 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 Aruba means to be eloquent. If I said Aruba Muhammad, Muhammad became eloquent. Arubat Khadija, Khadija became eloquent. Aruba. Yani, Sarat Fasihatan. She became eloquent. Articulate. Aruba bimana fasuha. So what's the first meaning of Al-Arabiya? Abundance. Good. Second meaning?
Eloquent.
MashaAllah. Alimat already. Alhamdulillah. That's right. The third meaning is clarity. To become clear. To become clear in speech. And that came from Arraba. You see all those words? Ariba, Aruba, Arraba. That's where Arabiya came from. So, Arraba. Arraba. Means to be clear. To clarify. Awdaha. عرب means أوضح, to make your speech واضح, clear. If I said عرب كلامه, that man made his speech عرب, meaning he clarified, he made it clear. And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. When he used to speak to people, he wouldn't mumble, right? The way he would speak, كان يفصل كل كلمة عن بعضها بعضا. He would separate the words. He wouldn't like that, right? Speak in one sentence where you can't even understand what's going on. Or speak too slow that you become, what, he's insulting my intelligence. Or too fast where he insults you and mocks you. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would speak, you can make out each word, each word. He was extremely clear. He said, "أعطيتُ جوامع الكلم." I've been given concise speech, clear speech. So that's from the virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fourth meaning of al-Arabiya is purity. Purity. And that came from Arib. Arib. If I were to say, this water is Arib, yani Tahir. This water is Arib, it's pure. It's not contaminated with any impurities. So, ma'un Arib, yani ma'un Tahir. Arib means Tahir. If you want to compliment a sister, you say, anti Ariba, meaning you are Tahira, you are pure, you are a pure sister. Right? You, akhi, Arib, anta Arib, yani Tahir. So Arib, okay, means purity. SubhanAllah, ajib. Because the Arabic is a pure language. It's not like other languages. You know, English, there's a term for that language. You know when something doesn't have a father? It starts with B in English, but I don't want to say it. But that's actually a dictionary term. So it's not really a rude word unless you're insulting someone.
It isn't rude, it's bastardized.
There you go, to bastardize, right? Technically, in English, that's a word which means no father, right? No real father. In other words, born out of wedlock, etc. So our English, you find, is actually one of those languages. It's been bastardized, you could say. Why? Because la asla laha. There's no real origin for it. It's actually a mixture of many languages, such as
Greek, Latin,
a bit of German, a bit of French, a bit of this and that, right? Say, it's a mushakkal. It's a mushakkal. SubhanAllah. But Arabic is pure. It's original, right? You know, when you go to the shops, you want original wallet, right? Guess, original, right? The imitation isn't like the original. But this is original. Arabic is 101, original. Alhamdulillah. And there's two more. Five, we've taken abundance, clarity, eloquence, purity. Five, affection and love. Arabic means affection and love. Yes. And really, they're just synonyms. Affection and love. So, you want to be affectionate and loving to your spouse, to your kids, then learn Arabic. Learn Arabic. In fact, that's why a lot of the poets, right, aforetime, tabarakallah, when it came to poetry, a lot of the time it was all about love. Right? Talking about this woman and that woman and their spouse and this. It was about love. It's very affectionate, their poetry. So, forget Romeo and Juliet. The true romancee, right, the true romantic one, is the one, the Arabic poets of old, subhanAllah. And that came from Ariba also. No, Ariba, same word. Ariba al-mar'atu, yani tahabbabat ila zawjiha. So the woman, Ariba, meaning she showed love and affection to her spouse. Ariba, again, means to show love. Aribat al-mar'a, or Ariba al-mar'a, yani tahabbabat ila zawjiha. And there's proof for this in the Quran. What's the proof? Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Allah is describing the women of paradise. فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا. Allah said, we've made them abkar, pure women, pure virgins. The next ayah, عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. عُرُوب. These women are عُرُوب. Not as some brothers think, عُرُوب from Arabia. They're going to speak Arabic. I can't speak Arabic. How am I going to communicate with my wife? No. عُرُوبٌ يعني محبوبات. They are women who are affectionate, loving. So they're going to show you affection and you're going to show them affection, right? It's a dual relationship in Jannah. You and your spouse, you're going to love each other. You're going to show affection. But you see, those words in Arabic, they have such deep meaning as opposed to going to the translation now. So that ayah in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا, right? And atrab comes from tirb. And your tidb is your companion, right, of equal age or someone who you're compatible with. If I told my son, إلعب مع أترابك, أتراب, say tidb, أتراب, go play with your peers, right, your friends. So in Jannah, you and your spouse are going to be compatible. You're going to click. You know, in this world, if you're 9 years old, you don't want to hang out with someone who's 90. And if you're 90, you don't want to hang out with someone who's 9. But in Jannah, right, you're going to click. You're going to be compatible. What you want, your husband wants. What your husband wants, you want. Right? You're like, okay, let's do something. And he's like, no, I want to watch the footy. Right? And he will come to you. Oh, let's do something. No, I'm doing my nails tonight. Sorry. That's what happens now. But in Jannah, no. If you're into something, your husband's into it. You're compatible. Same likes, same interests, same hobbies. SubhanAllah. You're going to click. You're going to click. That's Jannah. That's Jannah. SubhanAllah. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to enter us all with our families in Jannah without hisab wal azab, without punishment or reckoning. Ameen. So ariba means to show love. Ariba al-mar'a yani tahabbabat ila zawjiha. And finally, although there are many more, and I'll show you how many there are, just to humble you a little bit and to amaze you. Arraba, as we said, arraba means to clarify. But arraba also means to educate. عَرَّبَ means to educate. And عَرَّبَ also means to teach Arabic. If I said عَرَّبْتُكُمْ, I taught you Arabic. Well, there's other meanings, but we're not going to go too deep. But عَرَّبَ, oops, means to educate, but it also means to correct someone. Right? To correct, and also to teach manners. You'll be amazed at how this happens in Arabic. It teaches you values, morals, manners, words, yes, word, just a word. You will see shortly. It came from عَرَّبَ. If I said عَرَّبْتُكِ, I corrected you. عَرَّبْتُكَ, يَا أَخِي, I corrected you. Or you say to your child, عَرَّبْتُكَ, meaning I educated you or I taught you manners. So عَرَّبَ and عَرَّبَ both sound the same, but depending on what you mean, yes. So if I said, exactly, the sentence gives you the context of the meaning. Right? The context gives you and defines the meaning. So you say, عَرَّبَ الشَّيْخ التَّلْمِيذ, the sheikh educated the student. So in Arabic, they would say, عَرَّبَ مَنْطِقَهُ يَعْنِي هَذَّبَهُ مِنَ اللَّحَنِ. He educated his mantiq, his logic, yani he corrected him from mistakes. He corrected his mistakes. So it means to correct, educate, and teach. You say, how does it teach you manners? For example, how do you say toilet in Arabic? Hammam. Not hammam. Hammam. Yeah, is a bathroom. Yeah. Why? It came from hammama. Hammi. To heat up. To warm up, because the water is heated up in the bathroom, especially in the Arab lands. Their hot water system is in the bathroom, the sakhan. Even here in the men's, right, you see it's actually in there. So when I first went to Egypt and I went to my apartment, I saw the big, you know, the hot water system in the bathroom. I'm like, whoa, what's this? Yeah. Okay, and so if you're in the bathroom, it might even fall on your head if it's not screwed in properly. Allahul Musta'an. But here in Sydney, right, they're outside usually. They're outside. But it's called hammam from hamim and hamma. Hamma means to boil and or to heat up. And that's why one of the drinks of the hellfire is called what? Hamim. The kuffar will drink boiling water. Hamim. So hamma means to boil, right? Hamil ma, right? Boil it up or heat it up, right? And sakhin. Hamma is to mean sakhana. Same thing. Correct. Ahsanti. Toilet is khala. It came from khalwa. What's khalwa?
To be alone.
Correct. Seclusion. Alone. It's teaching you manners, morals. When you go to the toilet, you're alone. You don't go with your mates and you have a conversation, you're on the phone. You go in and you do what you need to do and exit. That's the hadith, the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. So it teaches you firstly to be alone. Khala comes from khalwa. And that's why the hadith, there shouldn't be khalwa between you and the opposite gender. Because who's the third?
Shaitan.
Khalwa means seclusion or vacant, empty. So if I said khala al-masjid, meaning the masjid became empty, everyone left. Khala al-masjid or khala al-bayt or khala, that's a verb, you say khala. So you're also learning a bit of vocab with these. You're understanding, but you're learning. You can even write those extra terms on the side. If you need me to repeat something, let me know. So it teaches you manners, subhanAllah. Not like how it is in the West with the kuffar. They have the urinals that are disgusting. They go and they're all there watching. Yani Allah al-musta'an. I'll give you another example. And of course, as Muslims, we already understand this, but it just shows you how well-mannered, literally, yani, how the values you find in the Arabic language. How do you say house in Arabic? Yeah, manzil, bayt. Good, these are all different terms. And subhanAllah, each word has a different meaning. So bayt, or they say in slang, bat, right, it's actually bayt. It means house or home. Where are you going? إِلَى الْبَيْتِ, right? I'm going to the house. بَيْتِ, my house. E for me, right? So بَيْت is a house. بَيْتِ, my house. So where did that word came from? It came from بَاتَ. بَاتَ means to spend the night somewhere. So those young shabab who are spending their nights in the pubs and the clubs, I'll say, Habibi, you have no house. Your house is outside there. So when you understand bait, my house is where I should spend the night in. That's my bait, not going out clubbing and pubbing. So it teaches you morals. Your bait is at home. Your bait is with your parents. Your bait is with your family. Not going out late at night. No, that is your bait, in other words. If you're going to spend your late nights with the shayateen, well, that is your home. See how it teaches you? That's where you should spend the night. Subhanallah.
So that word came from that word?
Yeah, so bait came from bata. Yeah, bata means to spend the night somewhere. So if I said, bata Muhammad fil masjid, he spent the night in the masjid. Bata fil mukhayyam, he spent the night at the camp. Bata fil ghaba, he spent the night in the forest. So bata means to spend the night somewhere. And 9 times out of 10, you spend it at home. Yes. So subhanAllah, how it teaches you. And there's other words for house. Right, there's bait, and there's sakan. Right? And we'll end here. Last one. Sakan also means house. Sakan means a house or a dwelling even. It's probably another translation. So there's various names, just like you have dwelling, residence, house in English, you have all of these other terms also. But what does it mean for you in Arabic, sakan? It came from sakana. Sa-ka-na. Any word that has those three letters. We said big words come from? Small words. That's what I'm teaching you here. Right? Any word comes from, most of the time, a three-letter word. Right? Sakan comes from sakana. Right? Khala comes from khala. It said most times they come from a three-letter word. Right? So what does sakana mean? Sakana means to settle. It's the opposite of moving around, okay? Opposed to unsettled or movement, okay, a lot of movement. Now, what are some words in Arabic that have sakana?
Sakina.
Sakina. What's sakina mean?
Tranquility.
You ask Allah for sakina, because when you get it, you are at rest, at ease, peace, right? Settled. So to settle, to be at ease, to find peace, to be still. Sakana, to be still, settled. Sakana al-ma, the water was still, as opposed to the waves crashing, right? Sakina, right? Sakina came from sakana. Another word. What's this in Arabic? Yeah, it's a bad drawing, but you get the idea. It's a knife, yes? What's that called in Arabic?
Sikina.
Sikina. Hey, watch.
Is that in the way?
Yes. Okay. Sikin and sikina. See? The sin, the kaf, and the noon. See? Sikina, sakana, sakina. They're similar letters. Why? Because when you slaughter an animal, what have you done to it? You've literally made it still. Right, you've made it still. It doesn't move. We said opposite to unsettled, movement. The opposite of sakana is haraka.
Haraka is to move around. So the sakina to sakin, it settles, it puts it down, it puts it dead, right? Literally. It makes it, okay? Maybe you'll even give it peace, perhaps, if it's in pain, depending on what's happened to it. Right? But to sakin, it silences it, it settles it. That's it. It's no longer running around. So once you kill it, it's dead, that's it. And that's why the opposite we said was movement. In Arabic, that's haraka. Ha-ra-ka. And that's why in Arabic, see the fatha, dhamma, kasra, what are they called? Harakat. Because it makes you move the mouth. A, u, I. Right? Whereas opposed, what's the opposite of that when you're not moving it?
Sukoon.
See where sukoon came from? Sakana. Because when you reach it, what do?
Stop.
You stop. Still. You're settled. Right? To be still. That's why the sukoon in Arabic, which is like a circle, that's called sukoon. See? Sin, kaf, nun. Sakana. 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 Correct. It settles it down. So it's to come to a place where you're settled. Alright? You don't continue. You don't give it another extra movement. As opposed to the fatha, dhamma, kasra in Arabic. You see how all those words, don't think sukoon. Why was it called sukoon? Because someone felt like calling it sukoon. Because it has the attribute of to settle, to pause, to stop, to be still, really, right? To be still. To summarize, stillness. So your sakana, going back, all that why? All those words came from sakana. Why? Because your home is
settled.
Stillness. If I were to, you know, if you were to go home and your husband's throwing cups at you and plates at you, that's not a sakana. That's World War III. So as you can see, your home should be settled, still. That's the purpose, because usually you find you go out working, you're out in the streets, you're in the city, you're outside. There's a lot of movement, right? There's a lot of haraka. That's the opposite. So when you go home, it's peaceful, settled. So that's why it's called sakan. That's why it's called bait. And that's why words have particular, you know, that's why they've been given those words. Don't think it's just, oh, let's just call it sakan today. Let's just, not like English. That's how Allahu A'lam, English and other languages are.
Okay.
And that, in summary, we conclude with the first session. Have a 10-minute break. So we said Al-Arabiya, big word came from Ariba, Aruba, Araba, small words, right? So give me a meaning of Arabic. What does it mean? Summary. Yeah. One of the meanings?
Abundance.
Next?
Eloquence.
Clarity.
Purify.
Yep.
Affection.
To educate and correct. Jazakumullah khairan for your attentive listening. You've done very well. MashaAllah, you kept up. And I hope I explained it in a way that's easy for you. Amen. May Allah Azza wa Jalla increase us all in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.